everybody's ready, and please, folks in the audience, help yourself to breakfast. Looks like there's plenty of it. So, Jody, thanks for rounding that up. We prepared our breakfast this morning.
The busy bee.
All right.
So, the other man.
Wait, at the last commissioner's meeting, and we want to thank the mayor and Councilwoman Aquino for being there. Bill Dooley approached the commissioners about the state of the bike path that runs along 16 and then intersects with the trail at Turkey Lane and goes down. And he was more inquiring if there'd be a possibility while we were doing the paving projects next summer if that could be addressed. And so I guess first question is, I know the city was in the process of maybe looking at your trails master plan and kind of where the trail is on that. You know, this would be a great time to potentially think about a working on a 1% request, because there may be a little bit of engineering work to get the number ready. You're going to have a paving crew that will be in town next summer to do the trail on the north bypass as well as Main Street. So you're going to have mobilization, so we can probably definitely save some costs there. But I guess I'd throw it open to the city what your kind of thinking is there on that trail.
Where does the trail start and stop on us?
So I think it starts somewhere around where Ed's Automotive used to be, and then it goes up the hill, past the veterans' home. You've got that spur that comes in that loops from the veterans' home. Then it keeps going up to Turkey Lane, and you then have the option of going down and jumping onto the trail that goes up by the old water, the old hydroelectric, or you can stay on it, and then it eventually dead ends. There's that little parking area, John, and then another. It's not a hard surface trail, but another unsurfaced trail that goes down into this kind of the start of the Mosier Gulch area. Mm-hmm. And so I think Bill was kind of concerned with that portion. It's a, it was blacktop at one point, and I think it's got some concrete features for where drainage is done to bring the water off of the road and through and then down in. Mm-hmm.
This is just that section. I mean, no additional hard surface paving.
His concerns were about that section through there. And you can definitely see there's some grass growing up. And I imagine it probably hasn't been treated since it was put down. And that was put down in the 80s.
Oh, it's held up pretty nicely, huh?
And I guess from my understanding of that trail, that was done by YDOT when they paved the highway out there. They, I think it was Jack Tarter or somebody was telling me that YDOT's the one that actually paved that trail, and they actually maintain it, because I asked them about it at one of their meetings a couple years ago, and they said they just don't have funds to totally redo it. So I'm not sure if it's the city responsibility or YDOT still. I don't know.
It hasn't come up at any of the trail board meetings. I mean, I'll bring it up because that was the first I'd heard of it. But
it's in the YDOT right away, I think.
I do think we need to probably circle back to Les Hook and ask about this and YDOT, because I know we get a lot of complaints about weeds as we're coming into town right there, and it's YDOT, and they tell us we'll get to it when we get to it, and they eventually do, but I'll check on that.
And maybe somewhere in your files there's also the original agreement of when the trail was put in place. And as we always love it when our predecessors say, oh yeah, you put it in and then we'll take over maintenance and ownership of it, and how many resident engineers have been through since then. So
sure.
It's probably lost on their to-do list as well. But yeah. I think it's a tremendous value to our community. You know, it's used by city and county residents. When you look at the socio and age demographics of our community and the folks that use it, those are folks that we absolutely want to see stay in our community and stay healthy, and so if we can give them that opportunity to be able to walk year-round in a safe spot, it helps keep seniors out of the nursing home and in their homes.
Missed opportunity if we didn't.
Yeah.
Do you guys plow the snow at all in the winter on that, or?
I'm not aware of it.
And we haven't done any trail maintenance on it. And so we've been...
I thought I saw a four-wheeler one day running up and down that thing pushing snow off it.
I thought maybe I did too, but I assumed it was the county.
No, Jonah. All
right.
That's fine.
Nice try, though. There is the, as you can remember, we watched the legislature create the Outdoor Rec Trust Fund, and this would be probably something that would qualify. Unfortunately, when they created the trust fund, they didn't create the mechanism to release the funds. That's a bill that is going to be in this session. TRW finished working on it a couple weeks ago. Their concern is that because it's a budget session and there is a certain caucus that is opposed to any form of recreation or government assistance in anything, that the bill may not get the two-thirds it needs on introduction to even be heard during the budget session, even though the money is already in the trust fund and they can't spend the corpus until they have the rules and guidelines and directions. So, maybe we'll bring that back up after Myron's had a chance to visit with the transport.
Would it do any good to have the street people in your outfit and our road people and our street people just kind of do a tour of it? Both people come to some idea of a ballpark number that if you do this, it might cost this much per square foot and it's this long. It's hard to say what. I don't have a feel, I guess, for how much money we're talking about.
Mike, I think a walkthrough might be a good idea. And the other nice thing is that we do have a trail that is going to be bid as part of the Main Street project. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the project that we're tagging on. So we'll have a pretty good number for what that paving cost is going to be.
Up there on the trail?
No, our North Bypass Trail.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
We've got it.
That's good.
We're piggybacking off of the Main Street project for Bypass Road, and then on out French Creek, as well as the trail. And so that's a project we've worked on since 2016. Yep. Okay, anything else about that walking path? Okay, who asked for Richardson Park?
Well, other than me.
Okay.
we talked about it a little bit last time, and John and I and Barry and Jim went and made a nice drive through there and educated ourselves a lot, I believe.
Yeah,
Barry. what's going on up there? And I know this thing has been talked about for years upon years, and everybody just kind of throws it behind them and doesn't want to mess with it because nobody wants ownership. But at some point, we're going to be forced with something. And I think it's a lot cheaper if we'd be ahead of it than once DEQ or somebody comes in and lays the hammer down, we're going to be in a big bind. with that, I think I'm just going to let Jim talk a little bit about what's going on.
So I'm Jim Waller, county planner. And anyway, I've been watching what's going on in Richardson Park due to this number of septic systems. Since the county has the permitting authority for septic systems, everything in Richardson Park falls into the county. and sewer. And a lot of people look back and they think it's the old history of what happened up there, but really probably 75% of the houses showed up there after 2000. And we have several 10,000, 12,000 square foot lots with wells and septic systems. And as those septic systems begin to fail, the replacements don't exist. Landowners have put shops on top of leach fields. They've put shops in their replacement areas. The last replacement we had was last year. It was on a 24,000 square foot lot, and that septic system was about $21,000 to replace. The scary part of what happens with that is when you have a failure, there's no area on the private property, and so the only solution is to remove the saturated soil. It's hazardous because it's wet and it's sewer water. There's only one place to take that, and the landfill charges 5 cents, I believe, per pound. So it gets really, really expensive. I think the one family had to spend about $3,500 just to dispose of wet dirt that needed really to dry out. Those replacements going in, the biggest objective we've run into as far as protection is the water wells, ensuring we are far enough back from everybody's water well. But we're like right at the skirt of 100 feet. And my fear is it's just a matter of time that some of the water wells are going to start to fail, and people will go to replace their water well, and we're not meeting the minimum separation distances from property lines, from streets. There's several wells that are shared, but the big hurdle is the area that's in your backyard that's your septic system. As they fail, it's going to be really difficult. There are some lots up there that are, you know, about an acre, but you're only at five. There's about 102 houses, I believe, or some, right at 100 houses. We are estimating anywhere from 200 to 400 people that live up there. After our drive-through last month, I looked at the total valuation. There's $28 million in total valuation just in Richardson Park. And I was in a project years ago where a small incorporated town had problems with the sewer system. DEQ got involved. They gave them 60 days to correct it. And the city, it was a town, and the town didn't want to do anything. And DEQ's answer was, we're going to cap your pipe, and you'll be hauling the solids off. So I thought, if we have these smaller lots fail, and we have to replace septic tanks, the holding tanks, people are going to have to install, you know, about 3,000 gallons of holding tanks, and that is only going to buy them about 2 weeks. And I believe it's $200+ to dump septic at the town dump station, at the sewer plant. So I really think it would be ahead of the game if both the city and the county kind of spearheaded and said, something needs to be done. There is a sewer line that's down on Turkey Lane. It cuts through and serves Bald Mountain Trailer Park. And then there's also that sewer line right across from Baumgartner's. I'm not saying that it has to be done. It's just, it's really difficult for me when I look at the number of county citizens that are up there, and we start running into those pains. You know, we're seeing houses up there, $300,000. I don't want to be that guy that's got to tell them it's not a $300,000 house. You got to have 3,000 gallon holding tanks, and now you're pumping it. It just is going to lessen the value of their individual property. And I think everybody's always talked water and sewer and streets. Sewer is the one that's the imperative one that would benefit, because if landowners can keep their water well, it's only when you bring water in that you run into issues with the water well and disconnecting it. And in the past, it was 2014 or 2015, there was some talk about looking at a project up there, and at that time, everybody started talking and saying, we need to look at all improvements, curb, gutter, streets, the whole nine yards. And I think that scares so many people off of the idea of if they have a sewer line and they can just get into that sewer line, there's lots up there that are vacant. You could see another house in if they had the sewer abilities. And I don't know the open area acreage, but we've had, I think in the last month, I've had a couple of calls up there. We've had a couple of complaints. There are people that are irrigating, and you add that onto the backyard of their house, and that just adds, it's like a compounding domino effect on the services for their house. So I just think it would be really a good idea in the long term, an investment in the citizens, trying to get them on board to understand, you know, I don't believe the county or the city should be the ones to go in and get it installed, but if there's a problem, that's what's going to happen. The funding will be talked about later. Correcting the problem will be the most important thing. And so I kind of feel like if we already know there's going to be something going on, it's just, I don't know, those citizens up there are very staunch. They like to be in the county. But I don't know if you get a sewer district and they create that and move forward to get that tap in and tie in, or, you know, if the city builds something and, you know, it's right there ready to go and then they have to connect to it. But in the long term, I think services need to be looked at in that subdivision. It's immediately adjacent to the city. The veterans home is in the city limits, and that's right across the road from Richardson Park.
So we are contiguous then.
So that was my question, because then that's where you get back to that 2014, where we do have to talk about gutters and streets, because if we're going to give those services, then we need to annex them into the city.
Could there be any situation like this one being special, where we didn't, or where you either phase the project into, right now sewer is the most important thing, and if we help the public understand that we get the sewer taken care of, yeah, we can come up with an idea to eventually bring curb and gutter and pavement up there. But after the walk or going through there with Jim, I mean, it's pretty evident. This is a serious deal we're dealing with. And that little picture you showed us, Jim, with all the wells and the radius that they needed to be legal, it was shocking. I couldn't believe it, how many water wells are right next to sewers and things like that. So it was eye-opening for me, and it made me feel like the county and city do probably need to come together and figure something out. And that was my biggest question, because that would be a huge project to take in one fell swoop. But at this point, it's a health and safety issue, so if we could get the sewer addressed, then we could work with the county and citizens to figure out how to bring the rest of it along, would be my suggestion.
So, Jim, I have a question. If the DEQ would come in and flex their muscles, who are they going to flex them at? The private homeowners, or are they going
to
be...
It'd be put on the landowners, and they'd probably be told to be on holding tanks until they can connect to a sewer system. And since there's no sewer system there, the town has the sewer, so that's where that interaction would be. Or the other solution is they look at buying an adjacent parcel and put a massive leach field to serve their entire development. But the area that would be needed for that would be pushing 20 acres. So we know we have a couple 35-acre parcels right around town that are just shy of $1 million. So I mean, those citizens aren't going to be able to do that either. I thought it would be really beneficial if the leadership showed interest in trying to resolve a problem for the future, with the understanding that probably they need a service improvement district. My only concern with a service improvement district is that is one layer of government just shy of municipality. And Mills and Evansville and Casper have always struggled with that, so I didn't ever want to have a situation where service improvement district got created and they wanted to create quasi-government that Buffalo couldn't be part of the town, if that makes sense. So I know all those topics come up. We drove on several right-of-ways that are dedicated to the public, and they're just dirt trails. There's a couple that literally almost felt like we had to put four-wheel drive to get up over some ridges. I've had four replacements in about 7 years, and each one of them have been a dig out and a replace. heart hurts every time that comes up because most of those landowners don't have the means to do that.
And I don't think, you know, when they purchased the, that was a big thought on you know, what could happen. I don't think they realized the severity of it.
We got condos. We have a fourplex building up there. There's another building that's probably got 4 or 5 apartment units in it. And this isn't really, you can't go in and say what happened. This is just a domino effect over the last 40 years. But the coal bed methane really pushed people moving into that thing because the lots were affordable and houses could show up quickly. I know if there's movement to at least show the landowners that something could be done, it might entice them. But I've also had some of the landowners tell me, you know, I have a leach field. I paid, you know, to put this thing in, and I'm not going to connect and just waste it. And the holding tank situation would be what I would be paying attention to because that's the only option. There's a grouping of houses along the main highway, and they're the smallest lots. Most of them have shared wells, which in today's world wouldn't even be allowed with the state engineer's office. And so that's my other fear is you get landowners that have a shared well, and they don't get along, and the well has issues. And now you run into, we had one house I explained that she can't have a water well because there's no, she can't even meet the setbacks. So she was trying to figure out how she could connect to a neighboring system just for water. Definitely, I think when we talked, Bill, or you might remember, 2014-15, I think that was like $28 million total at that time.
That was water and sewer?
No, for a water, sewer, curb and gutter, because the curb and gutter keeps coming up. And once the curb and gutter came up, those landowners crossed their arms and it died.
Yeah, I think, you know, start with sewer and make it a 10-15-year project so you don't have to get hammered. And put it out, but the sewer is the main focus, really.
So, I guess I have a couple of questions first for the city. Is there, within your code, is there allowances for offering city sewer to county residents? You have a...
So you have that at, on Turkey Lane, that court there, and then there's several people that have city sewer up there. We have sewer outside of the city and other areas, but the biggest is probably up there for Turkey Lane.
So there, other than there not being sewer lines in close proximity to that, there is nothing within the city code that would prohibit them from hooking on. So you wouldn't have to go in and amend city code to do this. So that's not the hindrance to people hooking on.
So we got a question on whether the sewer line was sized for that many hookups.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know.
So then the next question, Jim, do you happen to know, are there any covenants on any of those subdivisions up there? Do they have active homeowners associations, any of those?
There were covenants put on Richardson Park back in the day, but they expired. They were a 20-year duration, and I believe the citizens at the time allowed them to expire. The surrounding subdivision are 2.5-acre lots, and that's Bighorn Estates, and they do have covenants. They don't have an HOA, and they don't enforce anything. So Richardson Park is just kind of out there on their own. And it's an array of land uses, and that's I don't even want to talk about the land use. It's the health and safety part that really has more my attention.
I guess another point, too, is that the city's sewer treatment plant does have capacity to take on.
I think when the plans, Nelson Engineering.
Yeah, Nelson did all that work.
And it was just part of the grass to try to look at them as a service improvement district, I believe,
yeah.
And what it would take. I think that plan was looking at bringing the sewer line down the highway right away and connecting at Baumgartner's. And there might have to be, you know, it's all gravity fed, but I think capacity-wise, I think the pipe is there, but it would be something that would definitely have to be analyzed to make sure that the existing, whatever existing is adequate, and then obviously it would still require all the manholes if something did go in. I just don't know how you get 100 parcels, you know, landowners, to understand just the gravity of the situation.
I guess this is the first step, education.
I mean, I've had, since 2020, the number of landowners that have bought up there, and they had no, they didn't even know they had a septic system. I've had tanks that had been installed in the 70s and got pumped in 2015. We've had just an array of people living and not really knowing. The number of people that are moving into the county, and just when I have landowners come here, I give them a pamphlet, usually, if they're a new owner, on just the code of the West and understanding, you know, water and sewer and what's going on with their property, and then really pushing, if you're on a 5-acre or a 2.5-acre parcel, you know, what it takes to live on that, and we think 2 to 5 acres is big. It's not. Not when you start adding a well and a septic system, and then, of course, they want a house, and then they want some mother-in-law, and then they want a shop. You find yourself out of the room in a hurry. Yeah.
Well, other states have a facility for building these improvement, or organizing improvement districts. And they do that because they really don't have any choice, and they can't use what they've got now. And I don't think that's where our link is, that we don't have a way of saying, look, we've got until such and such a date to form a service district and assess yourselves the cost of the sewer pipe all up and down the whole subdivision, and then they would pay it like any assessment district. Don't they do that in Wyoming?
Yes. All over, yes.
Well, yeah.
We have several of their water improvement districts.
Yeah, but it's the same mechanism.
Yeah, they use a, most of them were for agricultural reservoirs, and they have their assessment goes out on their property tax bill each year. They have their annual meeting, and they turn it into the treasurer, and then she sends it out, she collects it, and she sends them the money. So that mechanism is used now in the county. It's just not used for any sewer improvement. It's all been water improvements.
But, so if they were to form this district, how do they go about getting the millions of dollars that would be needed in order to...
So once you have the district, then you would go after either USDA, Wild and Water Development, or they would do a bond.
And who would help them do that?
Their district.
Yeah. It would be that their responsibility.
Yeah. The city and the county could provide technical assistance through our planner, through public works, but ultimately would be on the homeowners. And if you have a special improvement district, the city of Buffalo could not annex it while they have debt. Mm-hmm. So, however long it took them to retire that.
I sense that they don't want to be annexed anyway.
So. I don't think they do either, and that's their
private
property, right? But also,
as long as the DEQ isn't involved.
I grew up in Cheyenne, and we had we lived in the South Side rural sewer district. It was not part of the city of Cheyenne. It was actually, we were closer to Terry Bison Ranch, but they collected and we had sewer, and they're still in the county, and that's why I really got to be careful, because the city of Cheyenne has literally grown around that service improvement district, and they've incurred so much debt on water and sewer that the city can't annex unless the city wants to assume that debt.
Well, that'd be one of their safety nets. You know, if we form this district, it won't be bothering us.
The other example that I've been a part of was the town of the unincorporated place, Hyattville. They had a water well. Their water well started having coliform show up in it, and the EPA shut down So they went and immediately started treating that water well and then formed a special improvement district, collected money for 2 years, used that money to cost match into a new water well project that the Water Development Commission funded. And then they went ahead and did that. Then once the well was drilled, they went one more year staying connected to their old well, disconnected that well, tied in on the new well, and put all this infrastructure in for their water lines. The citizens, the biggest complaint at the time, and this is probably maybe 2008, maybe 2009, biggest complaint was the cost of connecting to that water, because they had been paying a $10, $15 water bill for 55 years or something like that. It went from $10, $15, I think it ended up being around $50 for water. And most of the landowners, they were very aggressive about it. And the citizens over there, pretty staunch, once they realized that they had good, excellent Madison water for $55, there was no more complaints.
Yeah.
Their biggest concerns were how do you get the buy-in of the people in the community? And it just came down to the, you know, educating them on water and the cost of a water well, cost of things like that. I think in the long run, Hyattville will be pursuing sewer too, because it's just like Richardson Park, 50-foot wide lots by 150-foot long. And so Richardson Park is not unique in Wyoming. We have many of these all over. I believe it would be a wise investment for the citizens in the long run. I don't know how you get that done, but obviously they got a sewer line that serves the trailer court up there. So somebody was thinking, you know, in the 1970s about getting Bald Mountain on sewer.
Well, do you think, Jim, in 1970 you wouldn't have been able to build the trailer court without having centralized sewer, and so that was the only impetus for it? Was it without it, it would never have happened?
I thought that at one time until I heard and learned that there is a trailer house that was sitting on this concrete vault, and they found out that the concrete vault was a septic tank from the early 70s. So there was septic tanks and leach fields out there at one time. And I think that's where it came down to the density and just wanting to make sure. And that trailer court's a mess in itself, too.
I guess the only two questions I have right now is, how did it happen to begin with, and how do we ever keep something like this from happening again? So 50 years from now, there's not another group of people sitting here trying to figure out another project.
Well, that's a good question. I think that it comes down to just proactively looking at the density and knowing where we are. But right now, I get a lot of calls and questions on density in the county. Commissioners have been in lots of planning and zoning meetings, and the calls and questions come up on density and how small is too small. And if the county passed had a zoning regulation that just said this is the smallest you can go, then that would be your safety measure. You can't go any smaller than this. But how do you deal with the grandfather? You know, where you have an existing parcel of this size. So the fear on, if we go back 2 years ago on the property north of town, that was some of the big concerns when those guys came into the county and asked about subdividing that 80 acres into 100 lots. Was, you know, we don't want the density with septic and well. That's why they were talking water and sewer up there.
So that's the safety net. You can't build it anymore.
So Richardson Park was platted in 55, I think, or 54. And DEQ didn't get created until the 1970s.
That's good. So there we are.
So what are our next steps to help?
Do we just try to meet with everybody up there and do a little town hall meeting, educate them? I mean, I think bottom line is they're going to resist until their hand is forced by DEQ or somebody comes in, and then they're going to blame us for not doing nothing.
Right.
So I think that...
I think you have Jim sit down with them in the room and tell them that horrible story, and then they're going to go, okay, what's our next step?
What did it cost them to have city sewer?
Per month?
Yeah.
Was that $80? Isn't it mixed in with our water?
Sewer is just $20.60 a month.
Is that double outside city limits? No, it's not.
Just one.
And I think that the city and county, we can only go for grants for transmission lines. We can't do distribution, or is that just water that we couldn't?
Well, that's not our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we,
no, because we couldn't. Yeah, the only city could possibly do is help bring this sewer line closer there, but they'd have to do everything inside their district. But there's still going to be a big chunk of money to get from the Richardson Park down to wherever the sewer main is big enough to take that load. That's, I don't know. Yeah, just trying to see how we can.
It's really difficult too to get grant funding, from my understanding, on dead end sewer lines. So, like, if the sewer line is served and just it doesn't go to anybody for service, there's a grant funding where it gets limited on how that applies.
But is that something the county could help us out with, if that were?
I think, Myra, we could probably assist with getting sewer to the subdivision line, but after that point, that's on the property owners.
Right.
You know, and it's certainly something we're going to explore. I had the experience in 2015 of this bright-eyed young commissioner who said, let's help these people, let's get them water and sewer. I didn't bring in the discussion of curb and gutter and those things. That was the overzealous county planner at the time who did that. I was just trying to figure out how you could get city sewer and water to people who were starting to have those failures. And I got burned bad. I had letters from homeowners who told me that I was devaluing their property because I was even talking about the fact that their sewer had the potential for failure, or that there could be such things as a bloom. So,
well, I guess my thought is, if we were proactive and the sewer was there and DEQ just happened, and so then they had a choice, you either get a holding tank or you pay to connect onto this that's right there, mm-hmm. you know, and we make plans to get it there. I don't know.
I think, yeah, the city could kind of come up with a rough idea of where the existing resources are, in rough sketch on how far it would have to be extended. I think we could get some rough estimates and we could make a plan.
Size.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those, if you build it, will they hook on?
Yes, and that's kind of what
they're either two things. They're either going to want to or they're going to have to.
Yeah, get well, that, to yeah. say yes.
And I guess if we have a chance to plan for it and do it in phases as our budgets allow, then we're being proactive and not having to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not reaction.
Yes.
It's like $270 to have your tank pumped every... What did we figure? It took 5 days or something to fill a tank?
Yeah, about Friday. On a single, on a three, like three-bedroom house, yeah. We estimated 7 days. 7 days. Of normal flow of water use, family.
Yeah,
$1,100 a month.
A month, yeah.
So the problem is that my sewer system's failed and John's hasn't. Julie's has failed. And that main collection line's got to go down the street. How do you put in a system where we're having to pay for all of the infrastructure?
That's what we have right now. You pay for it. It's bundled. You pay for all the services, whether you have it, use it or not. Because it has to run down your street.
That's the reason you have a district formed. You can't say, I want to be in the district or out. You're in the district because of the geography of where your land is.
And to form the district, it's an election of the property owners in the political boundary. And so... the majority want it, the minority doesn't get to say.
Is that something they'd vote on if next year's election?
They could do a special election and they would bear the cost of it, but
yeah.
Yeah,
they could push them. We could push them for 24 to try to get it on the ballot.
I don't think you're going to be pushing anybody, Scott.
Or just suggest that they do it yet.
And you can consult with the clerk on a regular election versus special election, but I think at the end of the day, they have to request it, and so I would caution you to demand that they put something on the ballot in 2024.
Just educate them so they know if it's an option.
Well, and could you work with some forward-thinking residents to maybe spearhead that?
I've had a couple of them talk to me already up there that they're all for putting in a sewer line up there because they're having problems with their septics and theirs. But there's a couple I could think of that might be
if you could get
willing to help
them to get the bottom
road. Yeah, that's what it's
saying. Well, we tried that though in 2015. The brass study, we had the forward thinking was that we were going for. We thought, and it closed, that door closed so fast.
Well, that doesn't mean you can't try it again, though.
Well, so I guess those of you who are having conversations with property owners, I think the first thing you might encourage them to do is that they should probably form some sort of a homeowners association, so then the homeowners association can look at next steps, whether it's forming a special improvement district, whether it's a self-assessment to pay for engineering to figure out what it's going to cost. But again, we are in a situation where they have private property rights, and if they want it, I'm more than willing to help them, but there has to be some initial initiative on the folks that are impacted. Otherwise, it's just the big hand of government coming in and telling them that this is what you're going to do.
Well, and I'm with Jeff. Doesn't mean we can't try it again. And if we're not going for everything just sewer right now, they may be more receptive than and that they keep their county status.
One of the good blessings in that whole area, I guess, is there are streets and alleys. So there are alleyways.
Yeah, there's designated areas to run, provided that some of those people haven't built over. Some of them have built in the property lines were just suggestions.
It's interesting at 3 o'clock in the morning in a snowstorm trying to find a house with CPR in progress.
And some of the roads don't connect. You go straight down,
And I know if there's some place up there where the engine can't even get through.
Well, in my mind, like Myra said, and Jeff, there's nothing that keeps us from trying again. And at least we get credit for the reach. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if something does bad come up there, they can't say, "Hey, you guys left us high and dry." We, you know, we can at least show that every.
Yeah.
5 to 7 years, we've attempted to find a solution for the problem we knew was coming.
So could we look into what it would cost us to get the sewer there jointly?
Yeah, if you guys can have your folks look at where the closest connectors are, and we can map it out, and we kind of know what the cost of.
I think that's there. I think you just got to get an engineer to give you some cost. I mean, go to the GIS or anything. It's all plotted down. In fact, is it? I don't know how well does it overlay on your. The,
my stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I mean, we have it, right? Eventually,
you need to figure out where you're going to put it before you ask them.
The other day I had a phone call, I think it was Wednesday last week. There's a parcel that's up off of the Bighorn campground entrance. It's a fourplex. It just went on the market. And the realtor, her big question is, can he build 4 more buildings and connect to the city sewer? And I deflected and said he needed to come down and talk, you know, they needed to talk to the city, but they're on sewer with these existing fourplexes.
Yeah.
And that is the question that keeps coming up. And I said, you know, you better, number one, talk to the city, and number two, the pipe size matters. I don't know what the pipe size is, but, you know, pipe size controls a lot. And so that, The one sewer line is 1,100 feet from the southwest corner of Richardson Park. The other sewer line is about 2,700 feet from Richardson Park.
So for the city, when those residents out in the county connect, do you have any requirements on size of pipe, quality of pipe, and then I'm assuming that remains a private-owned sewer line that they're responsible to, and it's not something that you bring into the city system, or is it? How does that work?
You know, I think you're talking to the wrong people. We'll have to get, you know, what public works and building and all that, but I do think it's private. Why they maintain that?
Because I know that'll be a big question for the folks in Richardson Park is, okay, after you put this in, do they own it, or does the city own it?
So the main, we will probably have to maintain that because we were finding the same thing on that Mathers Peak one. Just the route that was proposed with that, because we will have to service it and, you know, where those stations will be. I know, and we're just talking sewer and water, once they become contiguous, then there's the whole annexation thing. We don't have that with sewer.
Okay. Which is probably good for those folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's your parents.
They don't want to be in the city,
yeah.
We don't want them.
And when was that sewer study done before that? Was that 5 or 6 years ago, or was that 10 years ago?
The brass study?
We did it. Study of the sewer system up in Richardson Park. We paid for that. Might have been in 12 when I was on council the first time, or in 16, or I can't remember, but there was, I know we did a study up there. The city and county paid to, I think Nelson or somebody, do a sewer study of that area. I think Mike Johnson was mayor at the time, maybe.
That would have been Brass.
That was Brass, okay.
15, 16, no, yeah. Well.
That was it, okay. I thought there was something special just for the sewer that we could look back.
What we need is names and address of the people that are going to be affected and send out a mailing.
Maybe we
can. Somebody needs to. I don't know who that is, whether it's us or an individual or.
We could. I mean, I could put together some data and look at, like, the smallest lots that I know. The lots that I know where they've got a building encroachment on their existing stuff, and we can focus on those because it's pushing 35. And you could say, okay, these are the houses, you know, are you aware you would not be able to replace the septic system? And that could be an initiative of education, but I'd say that would be a letter coming from the leader, the leadership, you know, the mayor and the chairman of the commissioners, or the collective of everybody, you know. So you're trying to show, we're not trying to be the strongest government, we're trying to make sure that they're aware of, you know, I think that Wyoming has pride in making sure that people understand their property and the value of that property.
Is it softer coming from the county planner?
Or we take zoning off the
county secretary.
Exactly. I'm just saying, you know, as we're looking, planning, and as we're seeing, and
that's
education.
Yeah, I think that we can probably figure out a way to present facts, which I think there's a couple of facts that we need to gather. The first is what it would take to get sewer to the property lines of those subdivisions. Jim, we need you to run hard numbers of households that are impacted, those 35 lots, how many people, you're going to need all that data to go after grants anyway. So I think if we could carry this over and try to gather that information, if the city could visit with Public Works about just exactly where, what size capacity you have. Jim, if you can come with a fact sheet on what's up there, who's impacted, how many septic systems, how many water wells, we can chart a path forward.
Let's do it.
Okay. Any further discussion on Richardson Park? All right. Who requested affordable housing?
Oh, I guess we just put it on there. I was thinking that was on the minutes from last time.
We were going to invite somebody.
Garrett's here. Any updates on affordable housing, Garrett?
Do I have one?
Any updates on affordable housing?
Our work group is meeting regularly about twice a month, and we're trying to find ways to basically we're trying to educate ourselves on what things to do. We have some action items, but none of them are really reportable at this time in terms of anything concrete. Trying to take a, from my point of view, as much work as I put into it and the way I went forward, I didn't have anybody along with me. So now we've got to get a group that understands the problem and finds a way forward and spreads the education. And so that's really where we are. We're not anywhere specific right now.
Thanks, Jerry.
Anybody else want to discuss affordable housing? All right, brings us to the part of the agenda where it's open to general discussion. So, Commissioner Perry.
Nothing for me this week.
Camino the Younger.
Nothing for me.
Camino the Fairer.
Oh.
We've been working on a salary schedule for our police officers, and it's still in preliminary stages, but part of the problem is we get good people and then you guys pay more. So I'm wondering if we couldn't work together to come up with this schedule so that we're not robbing from each other, especially because our people work so closely together. And it's like on the accident, the Shaman on the other night, the first on the scene was the city PD because they cover for the county when the county doesn't have someone on. So I just, because they work so closely, if you go and you visit, I mean, they're literally a foot apart, county, city, and I think it would help the morale, but then I think we're not fighting against each other. It would be initiative to work together. So I was wondering if I couldn't meet with the three commissioners and kind of talk about the schedule and the benefits of it, and not only for recruiting, but retention, and then especially because we're also competing with Sheridan and Gillette. And although they're bigger communities, I mean, our people do the same things and are in the same danger, especially if you hear about some of the things they've dealt with lately. I mean, this precipice of I-25 and I-90 puts us in a real unique spot that we get Sheridan and Gillette garbage. I mean, I don't know how to say that nicely. At any rate, I'm just wondering if that's something the commissioners would consider working together. And I think the more we do that as government, I think the more we could benefit our county and our citizens. Any interest?
I guess I would throw an asterisk in there, and I would encourage you to also invite the sheriff, because we're unique in that the sheriff is an independently elected, and he has a lot more autonomy over his budget than does the chief of police, where you guys set all that. The sheriff proposes a pool for his salary, so we're a little bit different, but I'm always open to one of the things you'll find that he competes with the Sheridan, those same entities, and we are poached as well. We have officers leave to go work on those other departments and those. So, yeah.
And I've been working with him a little bit so that our scale can be similar to theirs, but I'll go back and have that conversation with him for consideration. Nothing else.
Madam Clerk.
Just two things. One, I don't know if you were all aware, but the Bower Mountain Civic Center, they were working on a community facilities rehabilitation grant, and the Wyoming Business Council shelved it a little bit because of the amount of interest. They're going to reevaluate the program to best serve Wyoming communities. So we didn't have our special meeting to pass the resolution to apply for that. And then the museum reached out to me because they have this grant opportunity. I think there's just some maybe misunderstanding, because as you read through the grant opportunity, it's for restoration of like a historic downtown building, and they want to go for some money for the Carnegie Library that houses the museum entrance. I'll work with them on this. I think it will be the county that ends up having to apply for it. I mean, I don't know how the city can have the get the grant funding for your facility. But anyway, just wanted you to know that it's out there.
Unless they get mad at you.
Is that why? I mean, well, I just, that's too bad, because if there's an opportunity, we can't apply for it.
Mr. Mayor.
Have any of the commissioners had a conversation with Crosby Taylor about dispatch?
So I'm
liaison. Have you had?
I am liaisons with the Rural Health District, and I know there's been some discussion on some issues that have happened.
Discussions of Whitewood, yes.
With where dispatch is sending the ambulance from KC and also sending the ambulance from Buffalo, so I don't know if the Rural Health Board has had any of those discussions.
Well, he said that he talked with the commissioners, so I was wondering if he talked with the commissioner.
No, I get to hear.
That's all I need.
I get to hear what is said in the rural health care meetings. So,
that's all.
I do know a couple years ago we had an issue, and so we got the sheriff, the chief, dispatch, and the two ambulance services together to talk about how we can do things better. And I think that kind of ironed some of the problems out. Then you have people that change over at dispatch, because obviously it's hard to keep those positions full. And so sometimes then the protocols that are in place. But if we need to arrange another one of those meetings, I'm not aware of it. But certainly we can try to help facilitate it. But that last time was pushed by KC Ambulance, so if we need to do that again, we can. I have nothing other than just remind everybody, we are getting close to the time where the governor starts to prepare his budget and submits it to the Joint Appropriations Committee. So I would encourage you, if you happen to see the governor in town, to encourage him to fully fund direct distribution and the other programs that we are dependent upon, and then also pass your support along to Senator Kinski, who serves on the Appropriations Committee, so that we can, because remember, in the past, direct distribution is not a standard item within the budget. It comes as its own bill. So we have got to survive the two-thirds introductory vote and then the entire legislative process. And again, I am not overly optimistic, because there are some folks who don't think local government has any funding issues, and that we are just flush with cash, and that we don't need direct distribution. And unless the governor decides to put it into the standard budget, it will remain a standalone bill. So we can start doing our homework now to encourage that. I know you guys use those dollars. We use those dollars for good things in our communities, and we'd like to see them continue.
Absolutely.
Commissioner Shelley?
Nothing.
Yep. Chairman Madden?
Nope.
Councilman?
No.
Camino Day Clerk?
Nothing from me.
Jody, anything from you today?
Nothing from me.
All right, anybody from the public comments or comments they'd like to share?
I just appreciate the governing body coming together to have that discussion last month. I really think that was a monumental step that has never happened, like getting a phone call from a commissioner to go up and look in Richardson Park. So I really thank you guys for actually having that discussion this morning, and continue to keep thinking into the future.
Well, I thank you for being on top of it, because We wouldn't have much to say if you hadn't been here today. You know more about it than any of us do.
All I know is it runs down there.
It's like we are scheduled for the 21st November. I think that's Thanksgiving week. Is that Thanksgiving week?
Right.
Do we need to have a meeting? I mean, you guys aren't meeting this week for the rest of the year, right?
Correct.
I mean,
well, sorry. We are subject to the need, but typically we're not going to gavel in for 5 minutes to. It's a waste of our staff's time, the public's time, the press, and everyone. So we have the option of calling the second meeting if there is business that needs to be transacted, but we are not going to convene to approve minutes and do one thing that can be handled at the regularly scheduled time. So, but it's the city's meeting that month. So if you want to hold it, if you want to not.
That's up to you guys. I just know that the next 2 months, that third week is going to be right in all your holidays. It's going to be your Thanksgiving week, and then you're going to have the Christmas thing. And so if you.
Let's cancel for three months and move forward from there.
It's going to in January have that on.
We can, or if you wanted to do it on a different, if you wanted to do it on the first Tuesday of the month. There's nothing that says you couldn't, or the second. If you want to get it out of the holiday week, that'd be fine. I do think there's value in the discussion.
Yeah, and so. It sounds like we've really started a good discussion on.
Yeah, I hate to leave it for 3 months after you get this going.
We can go ahead and have it. I'll be here, but if you want it that week. We'll leave it for now.
Yeah. I'd say Fred, thank you. We want to be better. If you cancel one, cancel the
December 1. I think maybe just move it.
Move it up. We have to notice everybody that's going to change.
Department heads the first Tuesday morning. We could do it the second Tuesday.
Okay.
Second Tuesday of the month.
Do you want to move it or are we leaving it?
For November, do you want to move it?
Yeah. With what?
I'm fine with moving it.
Okay.
14th.
Okay. We can just announce that at our meetings.